I have several announcements to make, and you all know what they're all about, so I'm not going to go into all that. But if you want a nice summary, please read Father Wilson's letter dated March 13th, stuffed in the bulletin, which has the latest information since the bulletin is printed on Tuesdays. But just a few highlights I'd like to go through. There's no doubt that this pandemic, coronavirus, has caused much social and economic strife. We are, first of all, Christians and must continue to be a light in dark times. So first, we should remember to pray and fast for an end to this epidemic. Some temporary measures that have come from the bishop's office, and the full list is in that letter. The missalettes, hymnals, etc., have been removed from the pews, as you've seen. The exchange of the sign of peace continues to be suspended, and also, please, no hand-holding during the Our Father. The distribution of the precious blood and common chalices during Holy Communion continues to be suspended. For the distribution of the sacred host at Holy Communion, the bishop does recommend the distribution be in the hand. However, if you still wish to receive on the tongue in the traditional manner, please go to either myself or to the deacon. All extraordinary ministers will distribute in the hand only. Extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion will sanitize their hands prior to and after distributing Holy Communion. All of you are reminded, of course, that you are not obliged to attend Mass if you are sick or you believe you may be contagious. And of course, staying home can be an act of charity towards your fellow parishioners. Bishop Guillaumone is granting a dispensation from the obligation to attend Sunday Mass to all those who are at high risk for adverse health complications from the coronavirus or do not feel comfortable attending Mass for those reasons. And because Father Wilson is a very prayerful man, I know at the very beginning he talked about praying and fasting for an end to the epidemic, but the last thing on this list is, again, don't forget to pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The great convert, bishop, and doctor of the church, St. Augustine, famously said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, my God." If we think about the greatest meal we've ever had, the most incredible vacation we've ever taken, or maybe the best seats at a ballpark we've ever had the pleasure to enjoy. Regardless of how lofty the heights of satisfaction that we may have reached, when it comes to worldly pleasures, we're always left wanting more. As we look ahead to the future, overshadowed by this reality of finding lasting peace and satisfaction so elusive, our Holy Mother, the Church, recommends to us fasting in order to escape this perpetual pursuit. Fasting can be compared to a kind of drill, maybe even a fire drill. So the basic idea is that in a fire drill, you go through the motions to escape to safety when you're not in danger, so that you're trained and ready to flee when you are in danger. Same principle basically applies in fasting. We tell ourselves no when we don't have to, so that we're trained and ready to tell ourselves no when we do have to. But why should we have to tell ourselves no at all? If it feels good, are we therefore not supposed to do it? Well, as we've seen, simply continuing to indulge the desire to feel good leaves us unsatisfied and without peace. So during the season of Lent, the Church offers to us the way out of this perpetual cycle of indulgence and disappointment. She asks us to fast. Jesus doesn't merely lay down commands, of course, without showing us the perfect example. We remember the gospel 2 weeks ago when he was hungry in the desert and found himself tempted by Satan to turn stones into bread. Jesus' response was, "One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." It was an accurate response then, and continues to be what Jesus exemplifies for us as he interacts with the woman at the well. When his disciples return and wonder at the fact that he must have eaten, Jesus points to the deeper source of his own fulfillment. He says, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Mere bread and water is not what he's after." The food that sustains us comes from the same place. We are ultimately fulfilled not by mere food and drink, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Of course, we need to eat and drink and rest, but ultimately, of course, as we said, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. It's not only Jesus who finds peace and satisfaction in something beyond bread and water. The Samaritan woman gradually comes to warm to Jesus, moving from interacting with him as a mere man, to a teacher, to a prophet, and finally realizing he is the Messiah. And with this discovery, she leaves her water jar, the source of what she thought she needed, and goes back to the town, eventually leading others to Christ. The rest, the joy, the peace that she finds in the Lord is the same rest and joy and peace we're meant to find as well. This was not an offer merely made to one woman 2,000 years ago. Jesus brings this ultimate gift to this woman, to the Samaritans who come out to him, and he brings this gift to you and to me. We fast because we want to be able to tell ourselves no when we must. We must because attempting to fill ourselves up with the things of the world leaves us disappointed and without peace time and time again. By fasting, we keep open that space for the Lord in ourselves that we are so tempted to fill up with other things. And while it seems counterintuitive at first, it really is the only way. Right now, this very day, we have on offer to us the same hope for eternal life and eternal salvation presented to the woman at the well. Jesus has come to us, and he comes to us again today. He offers us eternal rest. Let us recognize that true and lasting peace that he offers. It may cost us some fasting, giving a few things up, and may even cost us a little more, but it's only so that there will be room for the love of God to be poured into our hearts. And being filled up with that love, our hearts will truly rest in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.